Really happy. Just based on the start of the season, Rory, when we come in, there was a lot of work to be done both on and off the pitch. Now, I suppose, if you put things in realistic terms, when we went in, we had 28 players. The last match of the season, we had 15. So over the course of the season, we lost a ton of players, and like we replaced them with two or three, the likes of Abbo and O'Donnell and these lads, you know. So we finished the season with 15 players, and the lads continued to fight and fight and fight. We had a big objective not to finish in that bottom two, because it was, you know, that's where we've been since we came back. At one stage, we were tipping away our playoffs, but that kind of coincided then with the loss of a lot of players going to the UK, going to Australia, going to America. So, you know, we, it gave us the opportunity to put the young players in, see what we have for next year. And now the real excitement is starting to build now, because we know we have the core of a very good young squad there, and we know what we need to strengthen and go and start challenging next year.
Take us back. You didn't start the campaign as manager. Martin Cambridge was in charge. He felt he couldn't take the club forward. At what point did the club approach you, and at what point did you think that you were ready for the challenge again? You wanted to be the co-manager of Cove Ramblers once again?
Well, I went to all the Cove matches, and actually the current chairman, Owen, who's here now, Owen, myself and Owen were going and watch the matches, and we always felt there was a good core group of players there. Obviously I had been out of the game for a few years, but I'd start coaching young kids up in Springfield Ramblers. And you know, when you go out of the game, you can kind of drift, and I won't lie, I did drift. But when I went up and I started coaching the kids, I kind of got that buzz back for it. My own son was up there, obviously, and then there was other kids. So that kind of gave me the, I wouldn't say the love of the game, because you never lose the love of the game, but you know, I definitely got a feel for to get back into the coaching. Martin left, and I spoke to one or two lads who wanted to see what I thought about going back. And to be honest with you, it wasn't a decision that was took too long to make.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we loved the club. She was in a mess. Everybody could see she was in a mess. There was nobody attending the games. There were no structures in the place. It was a day-to-day existence. They nearly went out of the league two or three times in the short period before the new committee come in. So there was a lot of work to do. But thankfully, we started getting results on the pitch. Mm. And when the lads started getting the results on the pitch, the interest level rose. We got a new committee who come in then, and then obviously our big goal then was to get ourselves reintegrated into the community, because we had drifted away. There was a divide. We were in a conversation piece. Anything that was said about us was negative. If you looked at the league table, it was reflective of how the club was both on and off the pitch. And then we start getting a few results, and then when we start getting a few results, we start getting a few more supporters coming in the gate. A few more supporters coming in the gate, start bringing some much needed finance. This inspired people like Owen and Ian to come into the club, and they got a really hard working committee there. And what we needed more important than anything was to secure the future of the club. So whilst we were you know, aware that we needed to get results on the pitch, if the work off the pitch wasn't been done, we wouldn't have had a pitch to put the players on in the first place. So all told, it's been a brilliant season for us. We are a conversation piece, but in that context, I mean, we're a positive conversation piece, because there's a lot of good stuff happening.
Seems like a good time to bring Owen in here. Owen, how did you get involved? And I mean, like, how did the whole process of you becoming chairman get going?
Well, I suppose the reason I got involved first day was because my son was playing with the 19s. I'm a former player with the club. Have a long-term history with the club, with my family, my father, everything else. And had been out of it for a few years, so didn't really know the problems that were up in the club. When I got involved, I started to get involved then kind of as a sponsor first, but felt that there was no structures there. Yeah. The club wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, you could get the feedback from the 19s. Are we playing next week? Will we be in the league next week? And this was a constant thing that would seem to be, you know, a shadow over the club. So I decided to get involved. Got involved really at the same time as Stephen did. And we said, OK, this place has to be totally restructured. The whole point of this season was to say, yeah, we'll restructure it, sit down with the creditors, you know, start organising the finances of the club, which we did, and put it on a solid base. But I'd say, Rory, this is only the start of Cove Rappers. Yeah. This is only the beginning. What we propose now in the next 4 weeks is that we'll be going out to the community, the whole Cork community, not just Cove, and we'll be starting a trust. And the trust, basically, then, the people that become members of the trust will become the owners of the club.
Is that similar to what Cork City and Forest have done, yeah?
It's similar. I suppose the only difference in Cove Ramblers is Cove Ramblers is coming into its 94th year. Cove Ramblers was the first club that was really owned by the community. It's gone away from that, but what our goal is not to make this about Owen O'Sullivan, Stephen Henderson, or anyone of the committee.
Yeah.
It's to become back into the community. Leave the community then, own their club, decide what goes on in their club. But it's for the greater Cork community as well. You know, there's under 17s, there's under 19s, there's talks about an under 15 National League. It's a huge benefit, not only to the Cove, but to the Cork community. But I can't stress enough, the reason we're involved is to put the club back in the ownership of the people.
Mm. It's something Stephen and I have talked about a lot. This season is getting fans back through the gate. So obviously getting out into the community is a way to get fans back in. The more fans you have, the more solid a base the club is on, the more successful it can be.
That's exactly correct. But not only, you'll get a general core of people just want to go to games, see the game, you know, enjoy themselves in the bar afterwards. But I think it's very important to try to get people back involved in the club, whether it be on a marketing side, whether it be on a finance committee, loads of subcommittees. And, you know, we can't stress enough how welcome people are. Mm. How welcome people are to get involved. It's not a stop shop for just a few people. It's to get everybody involved and get everybody's opinions involved. And I would encourage people over the next couple of weeks when we do come out and show them details of the trust is attend the public meetings and attend these meetings and see what we have to say, where the club was when we took over and where we want to put the club going forward. I suppose the first thing we've done is we've tied Stephen up for 3 years. We've tied him on a 3-year contract now, beginning of next season, because we would see last season as Stephen coming in and working with players that he really didn't sign himself and everything else. So that we want to put those structures and a solid foundation in place for the next 3 years and then look at it in 3 years' time and see where we're going from there.
Stephen, that's a massive vote of confidence in you, isn't it?
Yeah, can you blame them, Murray? No, it is. And it's where they... it's fundamental to what Owen was saying there. It's about stability as well. Now, we know, like, if we lose a few matches next year, that 3-year contract goes out the window. You know, and I go with it.
No pressure.
But that's understandable. But we've sat down and we said, look, this is a long-term plan. At the moment, we have a senior team, we have a 19s, a 17s. As Owen was saying, there's talk of a 15s. At this particular moment in time, we're even looking at how can we go down the road of putting the Ladies League of Ireland team into cover all aspects of the game. That's where we want. And my remit is I look after all the football in there. This year we had the 17s and we had the 19s. And because the state of the club was in when we went in, you know, I'm the first one to put my hand up and say we didn't give this the attention we needed. Yeah. All the attention and focus went on, let's get sustainability within the club. Let's try and get a few results on the pitch for the senior team. And essentially, we have to get the 17s and 19s out and perform. Do you know what I mean? Because we had to do it. So, for my part, I didn't give as much support as that as both lads. Anthony has done great and Len has done great. The two teams have done great under very trying circumstances. But even them lads will tell you now that over the course of time, they've seen teams getting better and better. Mm. Their training facilities, the equipment they're wearing, the equipment they're using, everything is getting better and better. But for next year now, in terms of the 3-year contract, is to sit down. It's not just the senior team, because we need the 17s and we need the 19s to provide the senior team with players. So that needs as much attention, if not more, than what the senior team is getting, because ultimately they're going to be the lifeblood that feeds us as we progress. So the 3-year contract is brilliant. It's great from the lads. I appreciate it, and it is, as you say, there's a lot of trust put to me there. I'll grasp that with both hands. I'll go at this like I've went with every manager's job I went with. I'll give it 100% and more, and I'll expect everybody who's with me to give the same. That's the only way we're going to succeed. That's in football, that's in life. You throw your hat at it, you give it, be the best you can be, and the results will come. Obviously, we're saying we have some great players from last year. We're currently looking at getting new players in to add to that. We've seen where the, you know, the areas we need to improve. We need a couple of more experienced players because we have some very talented young players. Adam been on some one of them. I'll get that fiver off him later on. You know, young Stephen Christopher is another huge talent we have coming through. And there's a few more, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of positive stuff that's going to happen for us. It's going to take time. We need the support. You know, we still get negativity, but the thing about this new committee, it's completely transparent. They don't do things off the cuff. They don't do things behind people's backs. And if people have a problem, attend the meeting, because they tell the truth. They lay everything out there for everybody to see. So there can be no rumours about the club. The club is what it is. The truth is what it is. It'll be given to you. It's there in black and white. And then get on board and help us, because we feel, and we all felt, that the only way to bring this club forward was transparency. Mm. You know, no lies, no bullying, no, you know, doing things behind it. It's there for everyone to see. Come to the meetings, we tell you what the story is, and it's your club, and you make the decisions on the back of that.
Is Premier Division football a target you've been set by the end of the 3 years? Is there a hope that you would be Premier Division champion in 3 years' time?
Absolutely.
In the Premier Division?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's ultimately what we want to do, is we want to have a Premier Division, two Premier Division clubs representing the county of Cork. Are we in a position to do that? You see, the thing about it is with football, you never know what's around the corner, and particularly with League of Ireland football, Rory, the teams change every year. You don't have the same core 11, 12 players every year. Do you know what I mean? It changes every year. So you could realistically have a chance every year. So within that 3 year structure, I would fully expect, you know, if the club keeps progressing the way we're progressing, if the players progress the way they're progressing, and I progress the way I'm progressing, then within the end of that 3 years, yeah, I'd be definitely, I'd be very, very optimistic to say that we'd be a Premier Division club.
So Owen, is that a target you set, Stephen, Premier Division football in 3 years?
I suppose the targets that I'm setting at the moment is stability, and stability into the future. The football size is up to Stephen. Of course, we'd love to get back into the Premiership. And yes, it is a goal. It is a goal. And I think the club has to set goals on and off the pitch. The goal on the pitch would be to get into the Premiership. The goal off the pitch is stability, structures, you know. So the club, so we're not turning around in another 3 or 10 years' time and saying, we're back to where we've been before. No, you know, it's something that we have to put in place, that we're looking into the future and say, you know, Cove Ramblers will never go back to what it has done in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Premiership football, of course, that has to be a goal. We have to set the goals at the highest level, on and off the pitch. And I see no reason. Dundalk are a prime example of it. There's no reason why we can't do it. And I think people should believe it. And people should believe it off the field as well as on the field. It is achievable. It certainly is achievable, I think.
Excellent. Stephen, I'd imagine like a manager's work is never done, so I imagine you're already planning for next season, looking at bringing in players and the like.
Well, yeah, because essentially what we've been doing an off-season programme for the players, Rory. Now, you know, it's a 5-month off-season programme. That's the longest in Europe. You know what I mean? It's how do you get a player to maintain his physique and his levels
and
for 5 months, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how do, you know, so like that. So what we've done now, we've been blessed now, our physio Charlotte, Sean and Ellie have, they're our strength and conditioning coach, our physio and our dietitian. What we've done, we've put together an off-season programme for the players. We've given them certain targets to come back in January. And between the process of getting the current players into a certain physical condition that we'll demand for next year, as you say, we've been out and we've been looking at what kind of players we can bring in for next year, obviously to strengthen the squad. Like you say, again, once the season's over, it's you know, that's when it really starts for us. You could argue that the season is the easy part, the off-season is the hard part. Can we get the players that we need? Can we get the group of players now back to the fitness levels, even stronger than we want for next year, to really have a go off it? Because I think one of the things that was noticeable, that we were bullied in a lot of the games against the bigger, stronger teams because of the age profile of our team. So, like, although we'll be young, we guarantee that these lads will come back in they'll be in a perfect physical condition. You know, thanks to the work of the coaching staff. So, and then hopefully we can get, well, I'm not saying hopefully, we will get another 3 or 4 players to come in and supplement the squad that we already have there. Hope for a good start and see where it takes us.
And events off the field are still going on in the off season. That's where Ian comes in. Can you tell us what the plans are for the off season?
Thanks, Rory. As Owen alluded to, I suppose the trust is the big thing for us, and getting that set up. We're hoping to have a public meeting in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and we're hoping that the people of Cove and the greater Cork area will attend, where we'll be able to give them information. We also are hoping to set up a few subgroups as well within the club, like a fundraising subgroup, an advertising subgroup, and basically just anybody who wants to attend or anybody wants to get involved, they're more than welcome, and we will definitely take on board any new ideas. We also have a comedy night lined up at Christmas on the 27th mm-hmm. of December, where we have three good comedians, Andrew Ryan, Chris Kent and Carl Spain. Tickets will go on sale in a couple of weeks for that. If people are interested, give the club a call, and you can look at our Facebook and social media pages as well. But basically that's it, Rory. We're basically, we'll have between the next 3 to 4 months, it's going to be a huge fundraising drive for the club to get some funds in so we can prepare for Stephen for next season, so that he will have, you know, a budget in place that is sustainable for the club.
Excellent. Well, boys, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Looks like the future of Co Ramblers is in very good hands, and Stephen, I'll give the last word to you.
And we just say as well, Rory, on behalf of all the club, we had the devastating news yesterday that Ruth Mead, who's the mother of a former captain and former player, John Mead, she tragically died yesterday. She was a fantastic woman. She truly was. She was a beautiful woman. She'll be badly missed. So if you don't mind, we'd just like to send our condolences to the Mead family and all the close relatives.
Of course, we'll keep them in our thoughts. Guys, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Rory.